There are many challenges in our world today, and just in case you've forgotten any of them, let's just kind of take a look for a moment. There's the powerlessness that we have all felt to one degree or another due to the coronavirus, the fact that our lives have been altered. We don't have control over this microscopic thing that has taken hold of the entire world. The economic impact of that has left us uncertain as to the stability of our investments, perhaps even our retirements, the reality that money and possessions don't quite have the luster that they used to have. And then the racial injustice and the calls for an increased look at the ways in which our society has perpetuated these realities for a very long time. These challenges are amongst us. They work their way into our days. They're impossible, really, to get away from. Nor really should we, because they call us to truly begin to look at our lives and what it is that Christ is calling us to do. Christ himself, in today's gospel, has a challenge for us. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood will have eternal life. Those who do not eat my flesh and drink my blood will not have eternal life. This is a pretty big challenge. And elsewhere in the gospel, they walk away. It's too much. And frankly, if any of us were standing there in that crowd with those Jews, we may very well have walked away too, because that is a radical idea. It sounds a lot like cannibalism, truly. I mean, if we listen to him repeat this phrase over and over again, eat my flesh, drink my blood. John chapter 6 is full of this language. If you ever doubt the seriousness of what we do here, just read John chapter 6. The entire chapter is something to return to time and time again if and when you doubt the truth of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the fullness of that, the radical nature of what we are being called to do. Like the challenges of this world, it is easy at times to begin to desire to shrink away from that challenge. The challenges of this world are too much. They're beyond our control, and so sometimes we might want to take a step back from them. I'm powerlessness. Well, this isn't so bad. I mean, I can begin to rely on my own power again. I can begin to think of myself as indestructible. Sure, money is questionable, but maybe I'll hold on to it even tighter. Maybe I'll focus even more of my time on money and possessions. Sure, there's racial bias in the world, but it's their problem. They have to do something about it. Not me. Not I. Sure, Jesus says, eat my flesh and drink my blood, but really that's just a symbol. He's talking in metaphor. He doesn't really mean that. The way in which we can take challenges and kind of mitigate them lowers our response to it. It takes the umph out of it. It takes what can be life-changing into, well, rather mundane realities. To give you a slight glimpse into this that I've experienced in my own life, just a couple miles down the road. Let's see, wait, no. That way, I'm pretty sure. At the Brook, several years ago, a good number of years ago, in outpatient treatment for substance abuse, the counselor says to me, after finding out that I'd been taking the precious blood at Mass, which almost got me kicked out. Very dramatic. Very dramatic. He says to me, straight up, like right in my face, it felt like, if Jesus told you to smoke weed at the Last Supper, would you do that? Yeah. Yeah, I would. Because he's God. Thank goodness he didn't. You know? I mean, you think of what the challenge could have been. And yet the challenge has already been mitigated for us. That which we receive tastes like bread and wine. It feels and smells, has the texture of bread and wine, and yet it no longer is bread and wine. It could, through the power of God, be a lot more challenging, sisters and brothers. It could turn in all aspects, including what we refer to as the accidents, the smell and the taste, the look. It could change in every aspect, not just the substance of it, but entirely to where it tastes like blood and tastes like, well, chicken, from what I'm told. Could you imagine? The challenge is already mitigated for us because of God's love for us. He doesn't want to make it too difficult, but that doesn't take the challenge out of it. It doesn't remove the challenge entirely. And we could take it even a step further. Don't get me wrong. I love our windows. I really do. I've come to love especially the way the water moves through each glass into the next glass, culminating in the ascension itself. But the one I don't like, well, the one I like the least, is this one over here. Because it has no transformative element to it. It is simply bread and wine, grapes and wheat. There's no transformation there. It allows us to begin to think, well, maybe it is just bread and wine. And when we do that, it takes the umph out of it. That's where reconciliation comes in. At every single Mass, we are called to be changed. Just like the powerlessness of this world, just like the way in which money and possessions no longer hold as much authority, just as long as each of us are called to look into our hearts and ask, how is it that I truly treat all of my sisters and brothers? The transformative element of the Eucharist calls us to look inside ourselves, to, in a sense, take a look at our heart, to pull our chest cavity open just for a moment and take a look. Is that the beating heart of a human being, weak, temptable, still prone to failure? Or is that the sacred heart of Jesus? Have we truly become what we have eaten? Let's take a look. But the good news doesn't end there, because there's a sacrament for that. A sacrament to take our lives where we haven't been transformed and to offer that to Christ. Offer that as bread and wheat to be turned once more into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We are called to rend our hearts time and again, to be challenged, to be changed, to not leave here the same. I believe in this. It is the reason I am here. When I say the words that Christ spoke, this is my body, I am reminded of the reality of my call to celibacy, that I am not to marry because my body is given up for you, just like the body of Christ on the cross was given up for you. It is amazing reality. Let us not allow the challenge of that to slip into mediocrity. Let us fully celebrate this great mystery.